We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with Senator Andreas Borges on this weekend's show. He represents District 8, which covers the Motherlode. Senator Borges, one thing we haven't really touched much on this show so far is COVID-19, which has been, of course, a big issue over the past couple of years. I'm curious just your thoughts on legislation being introduced to the state capitol on that topic and how you feel the governor has handled the pandemic over the past couple of years.
So I know that there are pieces of proposed legislation. I haven't seen them yet because we're still in the early part of the legislative cycle and they haven't been assigned committees. I would say, generally speaking, the governor's handling of COVID is very much a mixed bag. And the reason I say that is because early on, I want to make certain that I gave our governor the ability to make decisions necessary at the time when the pandemic first started. And I was pleased initially that the approach California said it was going to be using was going to be data and science. And what I realized, however, is that for all of the proclamations that were made that California's policy is going to be driven by science and data, didn't bear out. And the reason I hone in on that is because I believed early on that some of the best public policy that could be made is to understand how certain industries played a role in COVID transmission. So, for example, did restaurants or factories play a higher role in at what rate, so on and so forth. That way, through that data, we could have better understood where the highest rates of transmission were occurring and adjust public policy accordingly. That data was actually not obtained. It was not taken in by instruments of the state. And that, I think, was very disillusioning for a lot of folks, myself included. Also, I think the mixed messaging that was occurring throughout the last couple of years on what to do, what not to do, left a lot of folks really, really disappointed in leadership. Now, on the flip side, we were able to play a very constructive role in securing $2.6 billion in grants for small businesses affected by COVID. That was a bill that I introduced and built a bipartisan coalition on and incorporated that into the budget trailer bill. That, I think, was a very strong message and signal to our small businesses that we are here to help despite all the uncertainties that existed at the time, that we wanted to do the right thing. So I was very proud of our achievement in that regard.
You know, as we near the end of today's Motherlode Views, I also want to ask you about your decision. You're nearing the end of your first term in office and decided not to seek re-election. So I'm curious if you can kind of share any of your thought process on that.
It was a very difficult decision. Now, your listeners may recall that California has, after its census every 10 years, a redistricting commission. And that commission is charged with drawing all of the state and federal lines for office holders. And I was circumstantially squeezed out during this process. So I've had the honor of representing 11 counties in Senate District 8, much of which is Gold Country, Foothill Mountain communities, and I absolutely loved being your representative. But my district was inverted, so it was going to take away all of those and move it all the way down into Kern County from Fresno. So it was a difficult decision, knowing that I was circumstantially squeezed out by the redistricting commission. And the only other alternative was for me and my family and our two boys to relocate. And I got aging parents and two little boys in elementary school. And the idea of us uprooting and moving to a different part of the state was just not going to be in the cards. But it has been the honor of my life representing the 1 million residents of the district. And as I mentioned, I loved our foothill and mountain communities, Gold Country. I used to take our family there and vacation and meet with constituents. That's going to be a real loss, and it's a bittersweet departure, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people could understand those family decisions. And, you know, do you think there's ever a chance we'll see you back in public office, or have you had your fill?
I got to tell you, BJ, I love public service. And, you know, a lot of folks, you know, have been strongly encouraging me to keep my powder dry and reemerge. And there's always the possibility in the next couple of years to do exactly that. So I'm definitely keeping my eyes open, because I love serving the community and I love the opportunity to be a public servant.
You know, we have a few more minutes left on this weekend show. Any other issues that you're keeping an eye on that we haven't mentioned yet in this weekend show as we come to a close?
Well, I think what we're going to see right now is in this post-COVID, which is, you know, moving from a pandemic into an endemic, is did we learn the lessons that we were supposed to? And I believe that my job is to try to distill some of those lessons so that we learn from this whole experience. We learn that our economy is more fragile than people anticipate when it comes to supply chain management and reliability. Now, we also have a very resilient economy as long as we empower private industry and enterprise to foster and prosper in California. So if we're going to be mindful of those lessons, California and its leadership cannot think that it can micromanage out of Sacramento. That has shown time and again to be a failed pursuit, that a dynamic economy requires less role of the state. And that, I think, is something that is going to be important moving forward.
How about the state of the Republican Party right now? You mentioned that it's the minority party. It can be difficult to get things done. Are you optimistic about Republicans in the future here in California?
I think there is an opportunity for Republicans to improve their standing in California. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, when you have a supermajority party in control and in control of every constitutional office in California, the buck stops with them. So if people have to ask themselves with a cold calculation, are you happy with the trajectory of California? Is the California dream still attainable, not just for you, but for your children? The answer is probably going to be people don't believe it's there. So if that is the case, what is it going to take to reclaim that? And that is going to require another generation of political leaders who are not afraid to work across the aisle and embrace ideas, even if they're from people with whom they may disagree. I have approached Sacramento, I believe, with issues on the merits. And I believe if we do that across the board and make loyalty not to the party, but to our country and to our community and to our state the priority, then I think we will be better off.
Well, Senator Borges, we appreciate this update. We always enjoy having you on Motherlode Views. We thank you for the update, and we look forward to talking to you as the session progresses, and we also wish you the best on whatever your next endeavor may be.
Thanks so much, BJ. Take care.
And that puts a wrap on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. Again, we thank Senator Andreas Borges for being our guest. He will not be seeking re-election in 2022. Also, just this week, Assemblyman Frank Bigelow, who represents the Motherlode region with Assembly District 5, announced that he will also not be seeking re-election this year as well. So there's definitely going to be a changing of the guard when it comes to local politics. We'll continue to keep a close eye on that in the coming weeks and months leading up to the June primary and then the November general election coming up later this year. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.